1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Matt Piper. President Trump's cabinet says the economy will soon soar thanks to recent trade deals he negotiated with other nations. U.S. Trade Rep Jamison Greer on Face the Nation.
Now that we have one big, beautiful bill and we have a better sense of where the taxes are going, I think we're going to see more investment. All the commitments on investment we've seen countries making, that's going to come through.
But those on the other side of the aisle feel the opposite. Jared Polis is the Democratic governor of Colorado on CNN.
There's no upside. There is uncertainty. Obviously, we can all hope that President Trump is actually playing some master game to get to zero tariffs, but he seems to like tariffs for the sake of tariffs. They're a tax. They're a regressive tax. They hurt our economy.
For years, the Environmental Protection Agency has pushed car makers to reduce how much vehicles contribute to climate change. Now the EPA under President Trump has laid out plans to not just weaken those rules, but end them completely. The head of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, on CNN.
The climate has always been changing. We should not be relying on all of these foreign sources of energy. We should be unleashing energy dominance here in this country. We do it better for our environment than so many other countries do for theirs and for the rest of the world. It's better for our economy, our national security, and our environment.
A far-right Israeli minister has visited and prayed at Jerusalem's most sensitive holy site. It is sparking regional condemnation, as the BBC's Hugo Bachega reports.
He has been urging the government, the Israeli military, to occupy the whole of the Gaza Strip. And he again talked about this idea of what he described as a voluntary migration of Palestinians from Gaza, which many experts say would amount to the forced displacement of the population.
A new social media challenge has homeowners and police concerned.
It's called the Door Kick Challenge. In the middle of the night, teens record themselves kicking people's front doors. Justin Mulcahy is with the Anne Arundel County Police Department in Maryland, which just arrested a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old for damaging doors.
Sometimes they get caught up in these things, videotaping, but it can be dangerous.
Candace Knight's doorbell cam caught a teen damaging her doorframe.
You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. These children are going to lose their lives over something so stupid.
Michael Wallace, CBS News.
A whale is dead after getting hit by a boat, and it was all caught on video.
Stay here. Oh my God, they're going over. Oh, man overboard.
Shut the motor off. It happened in the Barnegat Bay along the Jersey shore. The person who fell overboard was able to get back on the boat. Officials say it was a mink whale about 20 feet long. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/...
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A new report shows Wisconsin again falls behind the national average in per-pupil spending for public schools. Experts say a two-year funding freeze in the current state budget ensures the decline will continue. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum study shows the state spent less than $15,000 per student in 2023, nearly 10% less than the national average. Joellen Pauls is a retired Middleton Cross Plains special education teacher. She says the state of public school funding in Wisconsin is an ongoing crisis that the current state budget guarantees will continue.
There is no per pupil increase for 2 years. No increase. That's a funding freeze. And that puts a lot of districts in a hard place scrambling to determine how do we even just get through this school year.
Among Midwestern states, Wisconsin ranked first in per-pupil spending on public schools back in 2002. According to the report, its ranking has since dropped to 7th among Midwestern states and 26th nationwide. In the past 5 years, more than half of Wisconsin's public schools have held referendums to allow districts to increase property taxes to cover basic costs for schools. Pauls says where those referendums have failed, districts face difficult decisions about increasing class sizes and reducing staff.
Honestly, it's an insult to the students in our public schools. And for lack of a better word, it's irresponsible. It's a shirking of our legislators' duty to our communities and to our state's future.
She says student mental health support and special education continue to be poorly funded in the current state budget. Wisconsin was also grappling with losing $72 million due to a federal K-12 funding freeze, but administration officials now say they plan to release those funds. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little haze in the sky today thanks to that continued wildfire smoke that is present across the area. Some air quality concerns as well. Otherwise, a little patchy fog giving way to mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower 80s, upper 50s tonight, and mostly clear. Currently 74 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Kripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are powered by Everlight Solar, and here's this week's episode. Hey, folks, welcome to another episode of the Kripescast. This week, we have the very funny Becky Robinson on. You've probably seen her videos, The Entitled Housewife. She's also done voiceover work for Middlemost Post on Nickelodeon. She was in Wild and Out. She was named Just for Laughs New Faces of Comedy. She's got it going on. Okay. So it's going to be a fun episode. We actually do a little bit with, her Entitled Housewife versus My Midwest Guy. So stay tuned for that at the end of the episode. But also, I want to let you guys know I am on tour. Got shows coming up this week in Chattanooga, Birmingham, Atlanta. And then next week we go Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, do the old Texas run. And in December, Elkhart, Indiana, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can check it out, kripescast.com/tour. And as always, we are raising money for Doctors Without Borders. You can check out Doctors Without Borders, doctorswithoutborders.org, or follow them at Doctors Without Borders. And ladies and gents, without further ado, here is my conversation with Becky Robinson.
Oh, we have a, what is that, a golden doodle?
It sure is, Charlie.
What is,
this is his,
Sandy Dunham.
Sandy's a female.
Oh, female. See, I honestly, I feel like every golden doodle looks like a lady dog.
Yeah.
Most people say he.
Yeah, but they do look a little feminine, you know, and they kind of act like it too. They're like kind of little, I don't know.
Yeah. They're kind of like, a nice piece of furniture. A little bit,
like
yeah,
a nice footstool. Kind of like a restoration hardware, like a nice ottoman, you know, a little high maintenance, kind of a little bitchy, you know, but cute enough to where you're like, yeah, I need it.
I feel like, you know, the emotional support that we can get from animals, that can go a long way. That makes it worth it.
You really can. Yeah. She was a surprise gift in a relationship. And then we broke up and the person was like, she was technically a gift if you want her. And I was like, I don't want her. I need her. the road gets dark.
you know, that is the problem, I think, with getting dogs is you can stay in a relationship a lot longer than you should because of the dogs.
Yeah. And we went the opposite way.
I don't know what that means.
We said we got to get out of this relationship.
Oh, okay. So the dog wasn't even a consideration. It was just, it had to end. And what was going to happen with the dog was going to happen with the dog.
Yeah. I mean, we had a slight conversation about she's a product of a broken home, but she's okay.
She's okay. Dogs can recover from that. Not quite as quick as kids, but dogs can recover from that, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
What have you been up to? You were on the road?
Yeah, been on the road. Had three cities last weekend, flew back. We always try to get that 4 or 5 a.m. flight out. you know, a couple days in town and then fly out again. Just kind of that's the weekly plan right now.
You like that early flight, huh?
You go back and forth, but yeah, do you hang around the city for a bit?
If I'm going to hang around the city, I like to do it before the show because it just gives me a lot of fun stuff to play with during the show.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's a good call. Do you do a lot of that, like get there beforehand, find kind of interesting stuff, incorporate it in the show, or are you like so back to back you don't have much time to do that?
Yeah, I used to in a simpler time. I used to like to get there early, but we've been kind of ping ponging really fast this time. We've been adding a lot of the people that come to the shows, we call them the Gearls. They're all like massive golf fans. So sometimes I'll go and like go golf with them or do something golf related or play pickleball with like a few of the girls. Or if I'm playing like a country club that weekend, I'll go early and, you know, do something with it. Usually helps at the country club so I can get to know like what some of the club scandals are, and I like to work that into the set, because there's so much that happens at these country clubs with like the new hot tennis pro coming in and hooking up with the married women and like all sorts of things, you know?
Yeah, that is, I used to work at a country club myself. I used to be a caddy. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, and later on I did some bartending at a different one, just short stint. But you do you kind of figure out pretty quick. I did a show at a country club, and I found the swingers found me like real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And Now I say all those things, but I know that you know these scenes better. I mean, this is like, so give us the insight. Give us like what's really going on here at these country clubs.
I feel like you see it once, you know all of it. Like it's everything that's happening on the streets, but like with, you take that, but put a polo on it. And, you know, hide it a little bit behind like some Belvedere and, you know, a private door and a private gate and security. It's like, it's all the same. It's like, you know, hefty drinking, a lot of cheating, a lot of wives, husbands swapping, a lot of, you know, scandals, a lot of cocaine. But we were golfing with this one crew, and this girl was like, do you want Eastern, Western, or like whatever medicine? She like pulled out this thing and had every possible drug imaginable, just like in her fanny pack. I was like, what do the girls want today? Let's do it. Let's f it up. So they're always, they've got everything. They've got access to everything, you know? So it's, it gets pretty off the rails. Yeah. I mean, some of the things that happen in like the locker rooms afterward, it's wild.
Wait, so can we go back to this little pillbox? So you're out there golfing with a few gals at the country club. Where can you say roughly what part of the country this is in, so as to not give away the geolocation, but you know, give us a, is it the Midwest, is it the South?
I think that was probably Connecticut.
Sounds very Connecticut, actually. All right, so you're in Connecticut, and this is just a random group of people that you met on the road playing 18 holes.
And I think that particular one, they had like scheduled or worked into my contract that I would play like three holes with them. And I ended up playing a lot more than that because they were so fun. But
you chose the blue pill, huh? Good for you.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So it was just like, let's party. Is that kind of what it is? Just a huge party on the golf course? That's like a Hunter S. Thompson amount of drugs. You know, that's straight out of Fear and Loathing, Connecticut. You could do a whole sequel to it.
Oh, you absolutely could. And it's interesting because a lot of them too are like, they're not, I mean, some of them, you know, some of the job, the positions they hold are like badass, very high up, very like CEO level positions. A lot of these women, and they're still like, they're like, roll my f-ing calls. Like I'm not golfing, but they're, you know. They're, and some of them, you know, are moms and they, you know, they do that. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's a fun web of these like women that come together just with the like thing in common of just, we are sipping, gripping and ripping, and we don't get Like we have nannies at home. Our husbands piss us off. They're, you know, they're hideous. We're fed up. And they're just like, we deserve and demand to get loose. And so it's always kind of like the general theme in common at like a lot of the shows and stuff. I always tell people like, it's fine to come alone because you won't feel alone when you're at the shows. You know, so one posse will take you in under their wing and provide you some form of hallucinogenics. do you do a lot of characters? Do people dress up as you at your shows?
Yeah. And in fact, I, you know, when I used to do exclusively like a character, that's how I start off with exclusively this man talking man character. People would dress up like that. And they still do to a certain extent, like wear a camouflage kind of suit coat type thing to the shows. But since I've kind of done a lot more that wasn't necessarily that character, it's mostly your standard issue camo and plaid and flannel kind of situation.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, you see a lot of great camo patterns. But it is interesting. We do have, you know, it's funny when you dive into a character the way like either of us have done, you almost find like you do it at first just because you think it's funny. It's something you observed. But then to see people relate to that and then feed the beast, like I can't, the way I feel about the thing I'm doing is that it was really not even built by me, because so many of the jokes, so many of the things to mention, so were things fans sent to me and I incorporated.
Yeah.
So is that same on your end where people are like, oh, you got to go here, check this out, or do a bit on this aspect of it?
Yeah, so much. So many emails, so many comments, so many. And like, they'll comment things that are 1,000 times funnier than anything I'm saying in the video. And I'm like, damn, these girls are good. But it really was based off my parents. And then, I honestly was like, no one's going to think this is funny. And I almost like didn't even post the first video. I was like, this is not my best character work. I thought it was like, I don't know. You know, sometimes we overthink things. I think some of my characters were getting too far down the line of like overthinking them. I was like doing this thing called the hummus guy for a while with this crazy curly wig and a towel over my shoulder. And no one ever laughed. Everyone just always looked at me confused as hell. And then this one has just, it's really taken on a life of its own. And the things they say and the places they tell me to go, like, you got to do a video on this, or they'll tell me real stories of the things that happen at the shows. Like, we had to call the cops a couple shows ago. One of them was getting dragged out and she was like, she f***ed my husband.
Oh, she found someone at the show who had cheated on her husband. They got into a fight at your show.
Apparently, fists were thrown.
Wow. This is fascinating. You know, I want to dive deeper into that, but it was funny what you said about almost not posting your first video that kind of changed your life. Because that same thing with me, I first of all, I sat on the idea in some form for like 3 years, and then I finally did it and cut it together. And then I was like, I don't know if I should post this, but I think that's an important like lesson for, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there just sitting on kind of like life changing ideas. And it's just kind of like, what do you think made you just go for it and post it?
I took an edible.
Okay. So there you have it, kids. Do the drugs. Okay. Kidding. Disclaimer. No. Kidding. How many milligrams?
It was actually probably like a nibble of like a 5 minute. I'm a puss. It was probably something small, but I think it was actually my older sister has like really guided me through. She's the first person that like made me go on stage when I was right before I turned 21. She made me try stand up for the first time. She's like, you've been talking about this forever. Like, we're going to have you do it for your birthday. And I've just grew up like always trying to make her laugh. And, I showed her the video. We were home alone at my parents' house during the pandemic and she laughed really hard at it. And she was like, and she was working in the ER at the time where it was like, they still didn't have enough like PPE and it was really dark. And she was like, I think it's funny. And they were trying to make light of things too, just like get through their days. And she was like, I think it's hilarious. And so I take everything she says holds a lot of weight for me. And I think that was what like probably pushed it over the edge, along with like the giggles from the edible. I was like, it doesn't like think less. I was just trying to tell myself like, think less. It doesn't matter. Like if it made you laugh, maybe it'll make one other person laugh. And then that would make it worth it. And you know,
so was that the real big career changer for you? Is that the one, like the biggest moment right there?
Yeah, I think so. Anytime I've like leaned into characters, it feels like good things have happened.
Yeah. And what's your, did you, how'd you get into that kind of work? The kid, cause that's different from stand-up. It can be incorporated into stand-up, but it's really kind of like a Second City type thing. They specialize it in. So how'd you get into the character work?
You know, I've always done a lot of voices and like, you did a lot of impressions growing up. Weird stuff, but I think I always had like wigs and props and stuff. I was always like a, you know, always maybe a little junior character. Yeah. I think I just thought like things are funnier with some flair or some wigs or like maybe this at like as it's like layered down. Maybe I thought like I wasn't funny as is, or like this is okay, but it would be much better if we threw something on it. And I just kind of started collecting wigs. And yeah, when I first moved to LA, I got a job at like a YouTube company, just like uploading people's videos for them, like the Tonight Show and stuff. I got a 9-to-5 so I could do stand up at night. And so my parents would like not say anything. I was like, I have health insurance. You can't tell me I can't like do stand up and stay up all night at these shitty open mics. I'm going to do it. And I started filming like a little kind of man on street thing. I used to love watching like Sacha Baron Cohen and Eric Andre. And I was like, you never really see a female doing this stuff. And I always felt like I could break into anywhere and it would be fun to like see a woman doing that stuff, cause I thought I could get away with more. And so I had like this videographer guy that would come with me. And I just started going places in LA, like landmarks like Venice Beach and Runyon in costume and interviewing people as characters. And, that was kind of how I just really always wanted to make like an Eric Andre show with a bunch of characters, I think. And then I liked doing them on stage and stuff and was just throwing tons of stuff at the wall, and probably also came from not believing in my stand-up very much.
Yeah, no, I get that. I feel the same thing, because I think sometimes for me too, the character was allowing me to like sort of have plausible deniability between me and the thing. It's like, yeah, it's not that I'm not funny. It's that character is just not a great character, you know?
Yes.
It's like so much easier. You don't have to show your true self. And do you find it then hard even now, or have you sort of used the character as sort of a stepping stone to get to your true self?
I think each character has helped me be a little bit more myself. Definitely. There was a while I was doing this one character called Susie Chapstick that was, the characters all always somehow turn into like a form of an alcoholic. Like that's, all, that's like always a layer of part of their personality that I use to like make them say things that I'm too nervous to say or something like that. And I remember Susie, I was doing this character so much and I started headlining as her. And then I got to the point where I like didn't want to try new material unless I felt like the material I had written myself, I would perform it as myself. And then when I performed it as the character, it got bigger laughs. And so I was like, I don't know, it must just be funnier as this character. And I don't know, helped me like be more bold. And sometimes now my sister's like, I feel like you're trying to turn into this entitled housewife and maybe it's not a good thing. But I just think, yeah, I mean, she is like an older, you know, more empowered version of a woman. But I think each one has helped me be like a little more outspoken, because I can be kind of like, I don't know, nervous and like I want to people please and, you know, maybe not like express my needs to their fullest extent. And this character just like bulldozes in and is like, or a lot of my characters are very, you know, like that. I think when I was auditioning for JFL, they were like, you don't really have any like nice, like calm characters. They were all like in your face. And then I found this like little, I started doing the little Walmart yodeling boy, and that one was calm. that's when I ended up getting new faces. Like they were like, okay, finally we see some range.
Yeah.
But
no, I mean, that's a really interesting thing. Cause it's, It's like you don't often notice those things until they're pointed out in such a, and you're almost forced, not forced, but like you're shown sort of a weakness in what you're doing. And you're like, oh, well, I can do that. You know, it's almost somewhat easier when people tell you, just give me a, give me the thing that you want me to do. And let me see how I can do that. But there's a lot of time spent in like, should I go this route? I don't know. Is it really? That's a lot of wasted time as opposed to just doing it, just making stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Did you find that the pandemic, like, obviously we all had sort of this captive audience at that point doing like online stuff. Was that like, did you find sort of like an explosion afterwards and you've just kind of been riding that high since then?
Yeah, definitely. That character. Yeah, that I had always posted stuff on like YouTube and, you know, Instagram and stuff and TikTok and was kind of always like, all right, you audition for stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, I'll just make stuff in the meantime and throw it out. And, you know, that way I can play these characters, even though maybe I'm not getting roles on things or whatever, in addition to doing stand up, and that'll help keep me practicing and stuff. But then during the pandemic, yeah, it made, yeah, everything, like the social media stuff. I went from not selling tickets to selling tickets to shows. But I think a lot of people that came to the shows also, I forgot for so long, like, you know, they don't know. Like didn't know that I'd been doing stand-up for 12 years before this happened, and probably thought like this girl made a character and now she's touring. And so luckily had a really good, you know, team around me that was like, I think you should still do stand-up as yourself during the show and not go full Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah. Yep. I had the exact same thing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And were people confused by, did people not know you were a person for a while in addition to the character?
Well, yeah, a little bit. They're like, you know, because people, it's not, we think like, oh, they like a video, so they've gone on a deep dive of us.
Yeah, they know everything.
We're
yeah.
vain, you know? and we know everything. We just sort of assume. But no, a lot of people go for a video they don't know, but it's almost like a great, sort of way to just catch a sort of a catch all, get a lot of people in, and then you can really show them what you want to show them. And I too was like, maybe I just do the whole thing in character. And I also had some people around me be like, yeah, that doesn't sound very sustainable, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, how many jokes can I make up about having a husband and kids? I'm like,
right.
Only so far I can push that.
Well, what are the differences between you and your character? What are the biggest differences?
Just probably like the family, the whole, like, I mean, I guess the lifestyles have melded a little bit. I really have gotten, just because the character is open, I've been spending so much more time in the world of golf and stuff at these like events and at country clubs that I've started golfing a ton. I just joined a country club and I'm like addicted to it now.
That wasn't the case before. Like were you kind of like golf before, but now you're fully addicted to it?
I always liked it, but that's also part of why I created the character, was like, I always felt like I would never be welcome on a golf course because I'm too loud. And growing up, I remember, you know, my dad would like, he's a big golfer, and he would always try to get us into it, but it was always like, we don't belong here, like this is too buttoned up. And you know, they would say our shorts are too short, or yeah. And I just, you always felt kind of like, as a woman, like you're not meant to be there, like you're a second class citizen, like the locker rooms are here, they're kind of like, get the fuck out, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's changed a lot, and I didn't really know how much it had changed until I created the character and then started getting invited to these clubs. I was like, oh, this is like allowed now. Like the first couple that I did, I was like, I can't believe I'm allowed to like say these jokes at this nice country club. And even my parents at first, they were like, I don't know, Bex, it's a little close to home. And they thought my dad was going to lose his membership at his country club because it was like vulgar. And it even took them, their friends telling them that they were like fans until they started liking it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. So my dad was like, can I get some merch? And I was like, fuck you, Dad.
Yeah. What was that like? Like your parents initially, because we're what's your dad's country club?
It's called Tualatin Country Club. It's in Oregon. I grew up in a town called Tigard, Oregon. So yeah, he like wins the club championship every year. And like, you know, the geriatric division is his livelihood. Plays a couple times a day and played in college. And yeah, and takes it very seriously. Like never drink on the course or anything like that.
Really? So, wow. So, yeah. And that's sort of his life, his thing. And then you come out with this character, and at first they're not into it, not digging it. What was that sort of conversation like?
It was kind of how they'd been toward everything I'd done in my career. It was just like, we're embarrassed by this.
Oh, really? In like a kidding way or in a, no, we're legitimately, you got to figure your life out.
You know, I don't think they ever believed in like the longevity of it.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. and the economy. Bank of America's CEO Brian Moynihan tells Face the Nation that following Friday's bad numbers on unemployment, its banks is it still expects there to be no Fed rate cuts this year and no recession.
What they believe is sort of in the middle of next year, the Fed will start cutting and bring the Fed funds rate closer to what would be a more normal rate, around 3%.
EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin on CNN talking about the EPA getting rid of the agency's push for car makers to be cleaner when it comes to the environment and gases.
I'm not going to get creative with the law. We're going to read the plain language. And if Section 202 of the Clean Air Act gets amended by Congress, then we'll follow that new law.
Uproar as Israel's far-right national security minister visits a holy site.
This arrangement allows Jews to visit the complex but not pray there. And Tamar Ben-Gavir leading Jewish prayers there, and he released a video on his social media accounts.
Hugo Bachega, CBS News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another victory in D.C. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their series today in Washington against the Nationals. They beat them again last night, 8-2, a home run from Christian Yelich. But why did Sal Frelick have to leave the game after his second at-bat? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Well, Sal had to leave the game. That's a knee problem again, the same thing he had during the Chicago series, so where he missed three of the games. It's part of his meniscus. He's had surgery on it back in 19, and yeah, the doctors will have to tell you what they think.
NFL, the Packers under the lights last night in Green Bay with family night, nearly 60,000 fans in attendance.
What a great environment, man. That's great for our football team to get out there and experience our fans and in that environment. So I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little haze in the sky today thanks to that continued wildfire smoke that is present across the area. Some air quality concerns as well. Otherwise, a little patchy fog giving way to mostly sunny skies. Highs in the lower 80s, upper 50s tonight, and mostly clear. Right now, it's 76.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial pound 250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk, a wireless company that actually stands for something.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is the Kripescast on Civic Media, and this is my conversation with comedian Becky Robinson.
Even my parents at first, they were like, I don't know, Bex, it's a little close to home. And they thought my dad was going to lose his membership at his country club because it was like vulgar. You know, I don't think they ever believed in like the longevity of it.
Right.
I don't even know if they do now. I don't know, you know, they're very, very supportive now, but yeah, I think they just think like, this isn't real. This isn't a job. This is like, and it's vulgar, but I'm always trying. I think they're now finally coming to the understanding. I've had to like beat it over their heads. Like, yeah, this is your guy's fault. You know, I am this way because of you, because like when you get really riled up, and you know, they don't cuss all the time, but when they do, it like really packs a punch. And that's kind of like, you know, Derek does. And I'm kind of like, this is a mirror of how you are. And like a lot of my stand-up is because of the way we were raised and stuff like that. And I think now they're finally able to like laugh at that and not be embarrassed. But at first they were like, you know, I run into my friends at the grocery store and they said this was when my very first started stand-up. They were like, we heard about some YouTube video of you talking about my God, when I was in college, I just like, you know, was throwing shit at the wall and was like talking about anything. And I was like, this is what I think is funny. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But they're very supportive. Now they come to shows now. They love the attention. My dad like loves getting free golf stuff now. And they're just kind of like, this is just crazy, Bex. This is just so cool. So. How are your parents?
No, I think that they're pretty supportive of it. I think for a while though, when you're just going out to Los Angeles and you're not really completely honest about how much money you're making, or you're just like, I'm making exactly the amount that you would want me to be making. So you're not mad at, you know, so you're not like questioning it. So you're not considering, you know. And it's not really a family. I'm one of 12 kids. So it's not like, you know, if you're not really in a position where you want to ask for money, or you're going to ask for money,
because
then it's probably a case where you're like, all right, well, you're going to work this off back home or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But
I would like work the weirdest jobs or do that.
Let's talk about that. What's the weirdest job you've done?
I mean, I bartended for a little bit, but I had to wear like a corset. That was not good. This is so embarrassing. I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but there was one time, this is bad. Okay. Well, there was this thing in LA that I signed up for called Hot Bartenders LA.
Yeah.
And they like set you up with a photo shoot, and they like made you wear these like kind of little skimpy out. I mean, not like, just like a little dress. And there was one time that they were like, hey, you got requested to come on this, to bartend on this like party bus to Las Vegas. And it was like a bunch of doctors. And it was like a stripping thing. And all of them like stripped and bartended. And I didn't. But I
all
like,
of the bartenders stripped and bartended.
Mm-hmm. They were like,
oh, wow.
In like their underwear.
So you're on this bus with a bunch of like half naked bartenders and you're like, I'm out.
I was young. I was like early 20s and they were like, you know, they were seasoned at this, you know, like they were probably doing some shit set jiggles as well. Like, they were getting inverted on the poles and like all sorts of stuff. And I was like, I'll just be in the front, like, you know, whatever you guys want. And I think they probably got like taped a bunch, but I was like, I don't care. I remember going home and just like crawling into bed with a sandwich and being like, I feel so filthy.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I've done, you know, in those new drawing classes, like the figure
you
draw.
A new person?
But it wasn't fully nude, you know, it wasn't, I had like boxers on. So, you know, I mean, but it was for a bunch of senior citizens in Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah. And it was charcoal drawing class. But there was
very this,
the one. Yeah, I know. But there was this gal, the gal ran the class after. She was like, how much for you to like take your clothes off for me to do a picture that I can draw at home? And I was like, whatever. What do you got? She was like, $25. I was like, all right. You know, great. So somewhere out there, because she was doing the Cain and Abel, you know, how Cain is like grabbing the ground. So somewhere there's a nude picture of me doing that, you know. And then she sent me the picture after, or she sent me the painting. It looked really good. I should
wait, like, as in you're like bent over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I'm hunched on the ground like this, you know. So it's pretty wild. It's pretty. I wonder where that picture is. I'm
Did
sure
you find
it's some.
That the senior citizens were more respectful or more like they didn't give shit because they were old and they were like, we can do whatever we want. We can say whatever we want to this kid.
I didn't care. I didn't know it. I mean, I did a lot of weird things for money. I'm going to tell you that right now. But that's probably not even the weirdest. But no, they were fine. I mean, those figure drawing classes is I think I did that for like $50 or $75 and then closed out the day with a solid 25 on the top. It's weird, you know, just the things that you're like, ah, I'm so broke. What's going on Craigslist right now? And is that where you found? I think I found mine on Craigslist.
Sure.
I don't know.
I think it was definitely Craigslist. Yeah. I remember so much like being the poorest of poor ever was, like playing colleges in upstate New York and then like being in New York and having 0 cents to my name and being like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just like phone dead, just pacing around in like an ankle booty, like with blisters. Like what the was I thinking? Or being in LA and someone being like, you want to go out to lunch? And being like, I have no money, but not telling them. And then, you know, they just get water, but they're like, well, we got to split it. And you're like, I have nothing.
Do we?
Yeah, you didn't really. I didn't touch anything. No, I didn't even split the mozzarella sticks. So maybe if you could just,
I remember trying to buy my buddy a drink and just getting rejected. My credit card got, rejected. I forget what you call that, but declined. And it got declined because I tried getting something. I needed some pants, so I went to Nordstrom. And then they asked it. They told me I get a discount if I got that credit card. So
the Nordstrom credit card.
Yeah, but I got denied for that, which then I didn't know my credit took a hit. So then I couldn't get more than like a $200 limit on my credit card. And then, you know, these are the things you learn trial by error, that kind of a thing.
For sure. I have something that happened to my credit like right after college. I don't know what it was, still affects me to this day.
Yeah, credit's a weird thing. It's kind of like the great abyss. I've never really taken time to figure out how it actually works. But smarter financial people out there have done that and can probably tell us. But
I know a lot of people kind of step in. I'm just like, we're rolling in cash, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. So we're do you have any thoughts on, like, you know, you have a great audience, you have these great characters, you tour the country. Is this kind of like, have you come to a place in your mind where you're like, oh man, this is great, I made it, this is perfect? Or do you have something out there that you're like, this is what I want to do next?
Do you say this is perfect?
We never say this is perfect. We always, I feel okay, like it's one of two things.
I was going to say, never, this is perfect.
But from anyone, old me or past me is like, oh my, are you kidding? Retire. You did it. You're done.
You're good.
Call it, go fish.
Remember when you had no money in New York? And Yeah, they're all always want to do more, and always it's so interesting because you can't quite predict the path, and you never know, you know, you can never like force things into fruition. And I think I'm really, really happy right now with where the first couple of years coming out of the pandemic, I was so scared all the time, just trying to do so many new things and like trying to handle, I don't know what it all meant. And like, I don't know, being good. Like, I don't think I had a lot of balance in my life and didn't really know how to take care of myself. And but now I love it. And I feel like it's very, very tour heavy. And the other projects that I was kind of like working on, I've kind of taken a back burner, but I feel like now I'm finally juggling everything in a good way. And hopefully we've been working on an Entitled Housewife movie for a long time and some other stuff. And some of it's coming together. Finally, it's just taken, you know, they say like, you can't do everything and do it all well. Like you start to drop the ball on some things. I feel like it's just, I've always kind of been like, but I still want to do all the things. And I think it just takes longer. So that's okay. Because I think if I would have done all these things earlier, I would have fallen apart. So I'm kind of happy with the way things have happened. I did Wildin' Out when I was like 25. I don't think I was quite ready for that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like Wildin' Out, like, is that kind of a thing that like just got you sort of out of your shell or not caring about like what people would think as they watch your stuff? Or like what role did that have in like building who you are today?
I think it was just, that was one of the first times of like leaning into the characters and being like, this is when good things happen, and just like fall. Like it was the first time I was doing stand up for a while, and then I was like, I'm bored. And then someone started doing these comedy rap battles, and I was like, that sounds fun. And then I just like accidentally won all of them and then started like auditioning. And it was just kind of like, oh yeah, every time I lean into these silly characters or like let myself be as goofy as possible and not so serious. Stand up sometimes, I don't know, it just can get so like serious, or when you're in LA for too long, it's like, ah. I don't know, I feel a little suffocated. And I started like being silly again, was like kind of found my old childlike self again. And the show was, yeah, I learned out of, I mean, we were filming like 3 episodes a day. So it was really, it was like a sketch comedy masterclass over like a few months. And the audition process was really long. We had to improvise as like a team for like a couple months, I think. And then they would just cut people like every day or every week or something like that. And so you could get to like the very last week of a couple months of improvising with these people that you thought you're going to be on the show. And then they'd be like, no, you're out. Just one girl kept rapping like Hamilton references and she got dropped. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Like they were like, that's too smart for the show. Luckily my stuff was dumb enough. Make the cut.
Yeah, I don't know how to take that.
But there was one day we were filming and I was like not doing well. And there was this episode we were doing with Jay Leno and I had to like roast Jay Leno, and I had written jokes. I'd stayed up all night, and then we went to like the dress rehearsal and no one laughed. And everyone was like, this is actually really bad and it's offensive. And then Nick like grabbed me and was like, when you do your characters, like that's when good shit happens. And I just went to my little locker and I like sifted through my wigs and I went to wardrobe, because they really like doll you up on that show. And I was like, take this off. Like, I want to look, I was trying to do like kind of a country Southern, like, you know, pregnant by 14, just something type of character. And they were like, okay, we're not like supposed to do this, but they like, you know, finally took my fake eyelashes off and like gave me some overalls from wardrobe instead of like a crop top and let me do it. And it was like the best day of filming. So that was helpful. To hear that straight from him, like lean into this. I remember him saying like, you are weird and you have to lean into that because it's just your thing. Like, I don't know. And yeah. There was no one else on the show that was ever going to say that to me. Like everyone was kind of like every man for themselves on that show. I mean, a couple of the girls, we had like good camaraderie, but they would also only put one female in every episode. So it was like, all right, it's going to be one of us. So there was a little, yeah. You know,
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I was scared a lot of the time in that too. Yeah. But I started touring right after that, thinking like, oh, people will buy tickets, and none. It was like, oh, TV credits don't matter. And it was interesting to see that, like, this entitled character from the internet, that helped a lot. And just putting stuff online, you know, and not being so little precious about it. Like, I got to hold on to this. This bit's going to be, this is going to wait until it's properly polished into a special. It was just like, okay, f*** it.
There is something about, like, perfection sort of being the enemy of creativity in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, you can't, otherwise you just never put anything out. You kind of see, like, it used to be like credits would get you, you know, able to tour the country. And then it was like, or now it's obviously the stuff you put out on social media, like, that's the way to do it. Do you think there's another iteration coming, or do you think we're kind of like in this same thing? Like, are you looking to kind of the future of like, how do I play this in the long game? Or are you like in that thing of like just being consistent with like...
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome in to the Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. It is almost time for baseball here from Wequon, Wisconsin, as the Rafters are taking on the Lakeshore Chinooks for the final time this season, once more at Moonlight Graham Field, where the Rafters have a 4-1 record this year. So a very big opportunity trying to win their fifth game on the road at Lakeshore, and they've already clinched the season series against the Chinooks, having won last night. It was a big-time victory for Wisconsin Rapids, 13-6 the final score, and really everything clicking for the Rafters. Started off in the second inning with three runs, another three runs in the fourth, and then a four-run sixth inning thanks to the grand slam by Jake Beauchesne. That put them up 10-1. It then was 13-1 for three runs, seventh inning. Rafters offense just kept on cruising, and thanks in part to the momentum provided by Justin Battle, the Rafters starter, who had a quality start. He went six innings pitched and allowed just one run to come across. That was in the fifth inning. And the third quality start of the year for the Rafters was Justin Battle. However, the last quality start for Wisconsin Rapids came from today's starting pitcher, Trevor Moik. Moik's last time out was about a week ago when he pitched at Green Bay. It's been a little bit of time for him, so he's had some rest, as it was back on July 26th that he previously pitched. Went six innings, allowed two runs. Both were earned on just three hits and two walks. Well, he had six strikeouts in the game. He's had six strikeouts in now back-to-back appearances, and he's had five or more in three of his last four games. The only other time he went just two-thirds of an inning and had to be pulled early from the game. So he has been great, to say the least, as of late. And specifically, he's been great on the road as well. Here at Lakeshore, away from home, and on the road this season, a 1.80 ERA in 15 innings pitched. 2-0 record, and he's got 14 strikeouts in those 15 innings, so trying to keep up his high Ks per nine. We'll see if he can, as he'll be taking on the opposing starter, Nate Ciemne, for the Lakeshore Chinooks. And Ciemne this season comes into the game with a 1-4 record, a 6.27 ERA, but it's his fifth time against the Rafters. We'll go a little more in depth later. However, we've got the pregame interview coming up next. Jake Beauchesne joins us on the show, and glad to have him along for the ride as we'll talk about that grand slam yesterday and how the team looked. Just a big time win for Wisconsin Rapids, 13-6 once again the final score. We'll talk all about it and how the season's gone for Beauchesne coming up in the pregame interview, and then to follow its starting lineups and its starting pitcher breakdown here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Pencils, check. Notebooks, check. Gym shoes, check. Safeway to and from practice? Back to school shopping for your teenager can be fun, but wondering how they'll get to practice when you're at work is not. Drive down to 8th Street Auto and find them a reliable and affordable set of wheels. Let the team help you through the pros and cons and needs of your driver so you can sleep better at night. 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids is here for the family and wants to help keep your young driver safe. Call or stop by today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me on the show, it's Jake Beauchesne. And Jake, what a game last night. Really everything working, not just for you, but for the whole team. 13-6 the final score, and I think the biggest moment of the night was your grand slam that you had. How did that feel in the moment?
Yeah, that's every kid's dream, you know, when you walk it with the bases loaded, and that time I delivered, so that was a great feeling. It's awesome.
Well, I was talking to you about it a little bit earlier, you know, mentioned getting the solo team lead in home runs with your seventh homer of the year. You were talking a little bit about Junior Barajas and how you guys have been kind of battling it back and forth. Kind of talk about that relationship, and have you sent him a text saying, ha ha, I took the lead yet?
I did. I had to do it. So, you know, love Junior. That's one of my best friends. So, when he hit six, I knew I had to hit seven, so that's just how that goes.
Well, now what are you going to do that you've already got the team lead? Are you going to go for eight, nine? I mean, what's the goal here?
I think the goal is to end double digits now, so just got to stay on pace and, you know, keep the approach the same.
Well, I mean, it's been a really good stretch for you. Start of the season, maybe not quite as hot as of late, but you look at the last 20 games for you, and that's a sizable stretch, and it has been incredible numbers that you've been putting up. What has been the approach for you from the plate?
Yeah, it was, again, like earlier in our interview in Austin, I was talking about just getting comfortable. And once I do that, it's kind of just letting the game take over and playing with a clear mind. So that's just been helping a lot.
Well, it seems like you're having fun out there as well, and that certainly helps. And it seems like a couple of the guys, whenever you guys are doing well, it seems like everyone's having fun out there. How do you kind of make that more of a consistent thing where you're playing loose and you're playing with nothing to lose?
Yeah, that's something hard to find, especially when things aren't going well. But being consistent and having that mindset day in, day out, regardless of what's going on, that's the key factor.
Yeah, and you look back at the last game, and you guys led 13-1 at that point in time. I think it was the sixth inning or seventh inning when you guys led by that much. How did it feel kind of in the dugout right there where it just, you knew everything was clicking?
Yeah, that's a great feeling, knowing that from top to bottom the lineup's producing and everyone's having a good day. It's special because that doesn't happen a lot. So just savoring those moments and trying to repeat them as much as we can is what we're trying to do every day.
Well, you look at the roster right now, it is depleted from where it was earlier, and so a couple of guys are playing out of position. You know, I've seen you in the corner outfield, you're playing center field now.
But is that a position that you've played a lot? And then also, how are kind of some of the other guys reacting to switching up positions?
Yeah, I've mostly been a corner outfielder, and it's been a goal of mine to play center, so it's great to get some reads out here in center field. And, you know, Landon is playing a lot of left field, and he's a standard first baseman. So, I mean, we got nine position guys right now, and everyone's pulling from the same rope trying to get through this last week, and we're all doing what it takes to win games at this point.
Well, doing what it takes to win games, you certainly did that last night. And you look at the team on the road as well. Over the last eight road games, you guys are split 4-4, so certainly seeing a lot more success. What is that road mentality for you guys, and how are you able to kind of keep playing so well away from home?
Yeah, we're a gritty team. I don't think it matters home or away. Obviously, home is my favorite. I think it's all of our favorite places to be. Got the fans, got the atmosphere, but we've been doing a really good job of taking that same mentality away on the bus and trying to play with the same enthusiasm as we do with home.
Maybe the other team thinking that they got a free win now that at home, maybe?
I don't know, man. They gotta come through the rafters first, so we're going to do everything we can to take another one today.
Well, obviously, and looking forward to that win. And Lakeshore now, you've got their number.
We do.
Wisconsin Rapids has clinched the season series. Seven wins on the year, 7-4 on the year. You guys get a little extra confidence when you play the Chinooks?
We do. I think there's something in the air when we play Lakeshore, man. We know that we're going to give them a good time, so it's a fun feeling.
All right. Well, that's really all the questions I've got for you. Anything else you want to add?
That's it. Let's go, Rafters fans.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, Jake.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Austin.
Once again, that was Jake Beauchesne joining us on the pregame interview. We're going to go ahead and step aside, and when we come back, it's time for starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular